this morning's message, as you've heard already, is entitled Christian Liberty. Christian Liberty. It was on June the 11th, 1776, that Thomas Jefferson, aided by James Madison, began to draft a document later known as the Declaration of Independence. On July 4th of that same year, 56 men gathered together to approve this document in a Continental Congress. Finally, on August the 2nd, the Declaration was ready for signing. Who would sign it? How many would be willing? Each man knew the potential cost of doing so. They could lose their home, their property. They could be hanged by the British as rebels. Their wives and children could be thrown into prison. They were putting all that they had on the line for that which they believed. Yet when time came, the document was presented by Richard Henry Lee, and John Hancock was the first, and then every man stepped to the table and signed this Declaration of Independence. Someone wrote of those men. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were dedicated, consecrated, determined men of means and of education and men of faith. And when they signed that document, they did so knowing that if they were captured, it meant torture and death. 9 of the 56 were captured by the British as traitors and tortured and put to death. 2 of them lost their sons in war. Another 2 had sons captured. And 12 of the 56 had their homes ransacked and burned. These are men who valued liberty more than they valued their own lives. Standing tall and straight and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this Declaration with reliance on God. The Declaration, as you know, says in part, "All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And the Constitution declares that we were established to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and those who would follow. Abraham Lincoln, in his Gettysburg Address, declared, "Our nation is to have been conceived in liberty." The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is inscribed with these words from Leviticus 25:10. "Proclaim throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, proclaim liberty." The great Baptist minister, journalist, and author Samuel Smith later penned these words, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where our fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." And then that part of that later stanza, our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." Long has America recognized the relationship between our freedom and liberty and its ultimate source in our Creator God. But political freedom, although desirable and worthy of celebration, is not freedom's ultimate expression. To be politically free but spiritually lost is to miss the purpose of freedom. There can be a relationship between the blossoming experience and enjoyment of spiritual freedom and political freedom, but they are not always intricately entwined, because in the world today, the places where the body of Christ and the church of Jesus Christ is exploding and people are embracing spiritual freedom by the thousands is not here in America. It's in places in the world where the political system is closed and restrictive, and many of the believers are risking their very lives for spiritual freedom, just as our forefathers did in defense of political freedom. You see, our greatest liberty is not found in being an American, but in being a Christian. Our liberty is not anchored in our nationality, but in our spirituality. How sad to miss the point of the blessings of political freedom and religious freedom if it's not exercised as unto the Lord. What difference does it make if a country is politically free and yet most of its citizens die and spend eternity in hell apart from God? What benefit is it? We miss the point. You see, liberty is not the freedom to do what you want. but the power to do what you ought to do. John, let's look at these verses of Scripture listed for you in your worship notes. Three separate texts, let's look at them. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And then Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 13. Do a little Bible drill this morning. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word. John 8, 31 through 36. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does not remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to the governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men." What a statement of contradiction. He's just told them to submit to human governments, even if it's a dictator. And then he's saying, "Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bondslave of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and verse 13, the verse we just read a few moments ago in our God's promise today. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called," verse 13, "to freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." May the Lord bless the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. You'll notice there's always a correlation between freedom and responsibility. You see, I believe that there's not a person in this place today who does not long for some fresh freedom. I believe everyone here, in some sense, is struggling or desiring. There's some battleground of longing for freedom in your life. For some, it may be the desire to be free from your past. How often a person can be crippled by yesterday's problems or difficulties or decisions, and allowing those things of the past to inhibit their present and their future. Some people are longing to be free from some kind of personal pain in their soul, in their mind, in their body, in their relationships. Some long to be free from evil passions that tempt to corrupt them and to affect their relationship with God and their efforts to honor God. Some struggling temptability in their life, some sense that they are being dogged by a demon of their own passions, and they long to be free. I remember reading years ago a little self-published book, apparently, by its look, almost like a paper backing kind of thing. It looks so cheaply done, but it was done years and years ago. It was done by a believer who had been an alcoholic, and this was done during the days when it was the struggle between making drinking legal or illegal. And this Christian man would go around the United States preaching a total absence against drinking and all those kinds of things, and yet that he was a believer and he had been free. And yet the title of the book was 15 Years in Hell. The struggle of that passion in his own life. And he traveled with another Christian man. And there were times when he would call his brother to him in his hotel room and he said, I need you to stay with me tonight because my longing for drink is consuming. And they would spend all night in prayers at times to say, God, deliver me from this. God, enable me not to give in to this. And he was victorious. But there was times when the battle was hard and the battle was hot and the battle was long. God sometimes delivers in a moment and that desire is gone. For others, it's to pray and depend on the Lord every moment of every day. That's a longing to be free from an evil passion. Sometimes it's a longing to be free from problems or poverty. Everybody's got something in your soul. You wish if God could give you the button to push today, you'd push in the heartbeat. God, give me freedom. There, we long for it. But do I have to remind you that freedom is not free? Three things I want to mention very quickly this morning. Liberty's greatest price is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Liberty is not, and freedom is not free. Someone has said, and accurately so, there's nothing free in this world. There's nothing free. The only question is, who's going to do the paying? Everything costs somebody something. The question is, who's doing the paying? You may get some things that are free, but somebody paid for it. There are no free handouts. My wife and I got a check from the government yesterday. I didn't know we were getting checks from the government. We don't even know why it came in. You know, we said, don't cash that yet. We already know it's not good. But anyway, I need to be free from trying to get too political this morning. But anyway, Lord, free me. But I know that's our money. Everything costs somebody. The question is who? Notice John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no spiritual freedom unless somebody paid the price. I've said to you 1,000 times, the judgment of our sins had to be paid. God cannot let one sin go without being accounted for by His divine holy justice. God's holy character must consistently apply His holy justice to every sin, every violation of His will and His character and His creation will be accounted for. Every sin will be paid for. Question is, who paid it? See, when a person goes free in Christ, God just doesn't go, oh, that's over with. It's done. No. Jesus took the punishment of our hell on the cross. The justice of God applied to your sin and my sin. The full and accurate assessment of what was deserved of judgment against our sin, Jesus took it on the cross. He wasn't just hanging there because He didn't have anything better to do. He was taking the judgment of the Father for me and for you. You see, grace is free, but it's not cheap. If you're free today, it's because someone else paid for it. It's an old illustration. I have used it on a couple occasions before, but I know you are forgetful. During the Civil War, George Wyatt was drawn by lot to go to the front to fight. He had a wife and 6 children. But a young man by the name of Richard Pratt offered to go in George Wyatt's place. And they said, okay. So Richard Pratt enlisted in the name of George Wyatt. He went to fight and he was killed in battle. Sometime later, the authorities came back to George Wyatt and said, "You need to enlist in service." And he said, "Sorry, I can't." And they said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because I'm dead. I died in the person of Richard Pratt, who had my name." You see, I'm dead. How about you? Because I died in the person of Jesus Christ. All liberty's greatest price is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Liberty's greatest prize is freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The purpose of freedom is to live responsibly for the purpose of freedom. Free to obey God. As I said earlier, freedom is not the power to do what you, the desire to do what you want, but the power to do what you ought to do. Freedom is to obey God, to honor Him, to praise Him, to please Him, to be used by Him, to take part in the kingdom advancement. Never lose sight of this. Never be confused that spiritual freedom is about you. Spiritual freedom is not about you. It's all about God. You see, it's always about God. He didn't make you free for your sake. God doesn't make us free so we can just do what we want. God made us free for His sake, for His purposes, for His desire. You see, the Bible says, and it's so true, that the freedoms that we have are misunderstood and misconstrued. No one is really free. The Pharisees, when Jesus was communicating this to the Jews, and they said, "We've never been in bondage to anybody," they didn't recognize they were in the worst bondage of all, which was the bondage to themselves and the bondage to their sin. The bondage to themselves. You see, the essence of this is this. We're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. The choice is ours. The Bible tells us that when we are set free in Jesus Christ, we do have freedom. And there's three kinds, three applications of spiritual freedom. First of all, it's freedom from the penalty of sin. The moment somebody comes to Jesus, at that moment of faith, the application of God's freedom fully to their sins is completely applied. When a person meets Jesus, He forgives them because His justice has paid for it through His Son on the cross. And He says, "The handwritings that were against you," He wipes them out. We will never have to answer for those sins because they are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. At the moment of faith, all of our sins are paid for. But then we are potentially saved from the power of sin. We are actually saved from the power of sin. The Bible says, why should we be slaves to sin in Romans chapter 5? Don't be a slave to sin, the Scripture says. Now, in other words, when I say actually as opposed to potentially, because actually you are free from the power of sin because you have God inside of you. Now, whether you live up and access the power that God provides and live it out, that's your choice. But it's not because God hasn't provided the power for you to overcome the sin in your life. At the moment a person comes to Jesus, in actuality and in reality, you are free from the power of sin unless you choose to continue to submit to it. It's not because what God hadn't done. It's what you failed to do yourself. And then we will be saved from the presence of sin ultimately. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to that day. That old weight that dogs our soul and our spirit of the oughts and shoulds and coulds and why didn't yous and who thinks and I believes and I. All of that internal condemning, contradictory self-talk which is generated out of the fact that we are condemning and contradictory. There's not a person here lives up to your own standard. Not a one. We're all failures. We all set marks. We attempt, we pray. You should continue to do those things. But listen to me, there's going to be a day all gone. And then you're not even going to have that thought in the back of your head, well, I wonder if, I wonder maybe, if I had what should have, could, what did they think that I should quit, God thought, yeah. Nothing but peace. Not even a hint. Not even a. I think it'll be so filtered that we won't even have a remembrance. Or if we have a remembrance, it'll be so filtered by the perspective of God that remembrance of what was will just produce shouts of what is. I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! From the presence of that old sinful me. The purpose of our service to God is for Him and not us. Maybe you've heard already that Brad Munden, you know, one of our own that surrendered and went back into the service. He was here a couple of 3 weeks ago. We prayed for him and he's being assigned to go to Germany. He'll be assigned there for 3 years. His family's going to be joining him there. Brad felt led of God to go back into military service, partly because his brother lost his life there about a year ago. Well, a young man that Brad was rooming with, has been rooming with, a young man about 26 years of age, had begun to see Brad's life. Shocking, isn't that? Observe his life. And he admitted to him he hadn't been to church in years and years and years. And he asked him, Brad, could I go to church with you sometime? Sure. So one Sunday they decided they'd go find a church and they got in the car together and they drove to one church. And when they pulled up in the parking lot, and the young man who was with him said, I don't feel good about this place. Brad said, fine. They're just looking for a church. So they drove out of the parking lot, went on down the road, found another church. Everything was fine. They went in, first of all, to Bible study or Sunday school. And wouldn't you know it? One of the instructors at the base was teaching their Sunday school class. And then when they went to the service, Brad said he could see this young man. He was listening intently to everything that was said. During the invitation, he walked forward and gave his life to Jesus, and they baptized him that morning. You see, it's about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's someone else going to be in eternity because Brad saw his service to our country as being subordinate to his service to his God. Oh, I need to move on. Liberty's greatest pity. John 8:31-32. If, that's the biggest little word in the Bible. If, what do they say? If ifs and nuts, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, the truth is not propositional. It has propositional aspects to it. But truth is Jesus. It's personal. It's personality. It's God. Liberty's greatest pity is missing or misusing God's costly gift of spiritual freedom. I read 4 years ago that there was a spy captured by the Persian army. And when they brought him in for final judgment to the general who was in charge of deciding what was done with spies, they took him out to the courtyard and said, sir, you've been captured and found guilty as being a spy to our country, but I'm giving you a choice. There's a firing squad right there, and they are going to take your life. Or, there's a door right over there. You see that door? It's either door number one or door number two. You can take the door, whatever lies behind it, or the firing squad. The man thought for a moment and he said,
I'll take the firing squad. Someone was there that day. They went to the general after the man was executed and said, "What's behind that door? Is it alligators? Is it lions? Is it vipers? Is it... what is it?" And the general said, "It's the door to freedom." He said, "I offer that option for so many, and most take the firing squad because they're afraid of what may be, of the unknown behind that door." How many of us are missing God's ultimate freedom because we're afraid? We miss the point. You see, God's blessings really have three kinds of categories. And you can find this in A.W. Tozer's book, The Incredible Christian. Notice what Tozer says. Spiritual blessings in Christ come in three classes. The first is to those which come to us immediately upon our believing unto salvation. In other words, blessings that God gives us at the moment, such as forgiveness, or justification, or regeneration, or sonship, or baptism into the body of Christ. In Christ we possess these even before we know that they are ours. The second class of blessings is those riches which are ours by inheritance, but which we cannot enjoy in actuality until our Lord returns, or until we join Him. These include ultimate mental and moral perfection, the glorification of our bodies, the completion of our restoration of the divine nature in our image, being redeemed personalities. That we have those, but they won't be fully actualized until we are fully with the Lord. The third class of blessings consists of spiritual treasures which are ours by blood atonement, but which will not come to us unless we determine to make the effort by faith to possess them. These are deliverance from the sin of the flesh, victory over self, the constant flow of the Holy Spirit through our personalities, fruitfulness in Christian service, awareness of the presence of God, growth in grace, and increasing consciousness of union with God, an unbroken spirit of worship. These do not come to us automatically, nor must we wait to claim them at the day of Christ's coming. They are to us what the promised land was to Israel, to be entered into as our faith and courage compel us to take them. He says that there are four truths concerning Christian liberty. You will enjoy very little unless you go after it by choice. You will enjoy only as much as you insist upon having. You will have as little as you are satisfied with. You now have as much as you really want. The day of independence for a Christian is the day you trusted Jesus. But the enjoyment of that new relationship may not be fully realized until the day you come to the place of absolute and full surrender. The question is, are you free today? Are you fully free in Christ? Do you know the freedom is available, but you haven't claimed it all for yourself? It could be sin, it could be relational, it could be worry, it could be reading too much of the news broadcast and wondering what God's taking His time to come fix all this mess. What is binding you today? What do you want to be free from in Christ? I want to ask you this morning, if there is something particular in your life, you could be young or old, member or not, first time guest, it does not matter. But you would say, "Pastor, I know what you're saying is true, but I'm not enjoying it. I'm worrying too much, or I'm crippled by something, or I need to be free. I want to be free in Christ. I
want to ask you this morning, I want to pray for you this morning, any and all that would simply stand quietly. We're not going to ask you what it is. It is none of our business. And you would say, you would stand to say, I'm a prisoner to something in my own spirit. A worry, a concern, a habit, a problem. Quietly stand where you are and remain standing so that I can pray for you. My Father God, I know you've done enough. You are all enough for all of me. But God, somehow we have canceled, or not fully embraced, or not willed, or chosen, or faithed what you have done for us to know how to enjoy all that you are for all of me. I pray, Holy God, for these that have stood courageously, quietly, to say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not free. There's a burden, there's a scar, there's a mindset, there's a struggle, there's a fear, there's a habit, there's a compulsion. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would touch these that have stood this morning. Lord, if there's something that they need to do, if there's a clarity of step, a new decision to make, the will to say, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you freshly. I'm going to seek you more deeply. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to open your word so that you can speak fresh truth and give me some more ammunition against the evil one that wants to keep me defeated and in chains. God, help me to claim and to receive and trust and to embrace the freedom that is already mine in Jesus Christ. God, give us freedom today, God. Not by asking you to do more, but by enabling us to trust what you've already done. God, help us to be free. Help us to seek it and to pray for it and to work for it and live in obedience to your word. God, so much of the freedom that we desire is found in our unwillingness. Lord, this altar is yours this morning. If we need to come and say, God, help me to seek your face and to pray and to pray and to pray so that I can enjoy the freedom that I know you want me to have and that you've already died to give. Lord, I surrender these to you. I give them to you, God. You speak your truth to them. You speak your will. You speak your enablement. God, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Bind all of hell in the power of our resurrected Savior from destroying and undermining the victory and the liberty and the freedom that is ours. And then God, as we live out your freedom, help us to know it's in accordance to obedience to your will. We're free to please you, God, to honor you, to serve you, to love you, to stand firm in this country, and to shout the freedom of Christ and to remind the people that the history of this nation was anchored in people of faith. God, I pray you'd help us to live the freedom and be witnesses of the greatest liberty of all, and that's in grace. Lord, I this invitation is yours. May we freely honor you in this time. In Jesus' name I pray.